Well, we have a wonderful opportunity this morning to hear from three different people. We're going to have Sadie Zabo, and then Tiffany Grady, and then Travis Grady going to be baptized this morning. The Lord has given baptism, as I mentioned, as a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and the believer identifying with that death, burial, and resurrection. It is something that the Lord has given to believers, so that's why we don't practice baptizing of infants, because we don't believe they're at a capacity to believe at that point. And so these three have stepped forward and want to obey the Lord in the waters of baptism this morning. The first of these, Sadie Zabo, she asked me to read her testimony, and so I'll do the best I can reading her testimony. Okay. Let me just read one passage before we go there. Romans chapter 6. Don't worry, it won't be a whole new sermon, but I did want to read what I was alluding to. Romans chapter 6, in verse 1. This is, I think, one of the clearest pictures of baptism being a picture of our union with Christ and His death and resurrection. It says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died in sin shall still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if you have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection." So here we see clearly that our baptism is a picture of going under the waters as death and burial, coming back out of the waters as resurrection. Okay, so here's Sadie's testimony. "I grew up in a Christian home. I mean, I'm still living here. I'm only 12 years old. So I am around Christians all the time. Even so, most of my relatives, not just all my immediate family, believe in God. I've always believed in God. I've always known there is a God. I never doubted that Jesus died on the cross or that my only way to going to heaven is believing in Jesus. I used to think that being Christian was simply knowing the gospel, going to church, knowing all the Bible stories. If I'm being honest, I didn't always like going to church when I was younger. I thought of it as of more as having something I had to do rather than a privilege. The more I realized that God loved me, that I should want to turn away from my sin and not continue further in the path of it, the more and more that I wanted to go to church, and more that I wanted to learn and increase my knowledge of the Bible. But it wasn't until around 10 years old that I realized that Jesus didn't just die on the cross for my sins, but He did it because He loved me. We always sing Jesus loves me in Sunday school, and when someone asks you who loves you, you say your parents or God. But I realize now that God really does love me. He sent His Son to die on the cross for my sins. 1 John 4:10 said, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We do not deserve His grace. This gift that is given to us. I am a sinner. I can safely admit that I am stubborn sometimes. Okay, maybe a bit more than sometimes. I know that we are sinners. We are born with sin. We should all be dwelling in hell right now, but instead God sent His one and only Son to die on the cross for anyone who believes and wishes to follow Him. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. I now know the way to getting to heaven is not just going to church and acting like a good person, but it's believing in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It is believing that that God will provide no matter what situation happens. So today I'm thankful to say I'm a follower of Christ. There she is. You in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Next we'll have Tiffany Grady come up.
Good afternoon. My name is Tiffany Grady. My husband and I have been coming to Sovereign Grace with our children for a little over a year now. Growing up, I came from a non-believing home, I guess you could say. My mother was raised in a Christian home, but my dad wasn't. I was raised more in the sense of using my moral compass. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Don't lie, don't steal, things of that nature. I was not fully understanding why, other than it's just wrong. There was lots of things that as a kid I became accustomed to. My parents would play us children against one another. This went on even into adulthood. There was nights that I remember my mom waking us kids up to go out looking for my dad because he was out running around on her. Then the next week we would be going to my grandmother's church for some special occasion. As a child and a teen, I heard the gospel from my mom's side of the family. But it always came with a condescending attitude towards us because we were not raised in a believing home. There was always a comparison of my siblings and myself to my cousins. We always felt that they were better than us because they went to church on Sundays and they supposedly did everything right. But then we would see them doing the same stuff that we as kids were doing, and we were getting in trouble for it, not them. I always felt that my aunts and uncles judged us kids because of who my dad was and that my mom fell away from her Christian background. I seen a lot of hypocrisy during this time. A great example of that was that my dad could get no forgiveness for his adulterer ways, but another member of the family was forgiven of it because he goes to church every Sunday. This all made for a very bitter taste in my mouth about God. I essentially was a God hater and wanted absolutely nothing to do with God or anybody who had anything to do with God. This attitude continued on. I moved out when I was 17, got my own place, was out drinking in the bars and partying. Travis and I eventually got married, and I had a little girl. I had received a call that my grandmother was sick and she was dying. We made the decision that I could take time off of work to be able to take care of her and spend the time with her that I didn't get to spend with her as a child and a teen. I was having much regret about it at this time in my life. God definitely knew that this would help mold my future. Her and I spent a lot of time talking about scripture, her reciting it, and explaining things to me that I didn't ask questions about when I was a teen and young adult, but was asking about now. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This time spent with her still didn't deter me from the path that I was on. Travis and I eventually had another baby, and I was still thinking, hey, I'm a good mom, person, wife. I take care of my kids. I make sure that they're fed and bathed and stories read to them, and I don't put them in harm's way. Then one day I received a call from Children's Services. The lady on the other end said that there was a complaint filed against us and that they wanted to come out and inspect our house. In that moment, I was so furious because she had said that it was that it was my own parents. They had filed a complaint against us, and it was done out of spite and to be hurtful. I felt as though that this was the ultimate betrayal. That was the day God brought me to my knees, crying out for him to save me, thinking, wow, what a terrible wife and mother I have been. I have denied my kids the only thing that matters in life, and that was God. I was trying to bargain. I was trying to bargain with him, but realized that what do I have to give him? If you, God, would just let me keep my children, I will follow you for the rest of my life. I came to the understanding that day that I am a wretched sinner who committed all things against God, but expected that others do unto me differently. How selfish I was to think that I deserve so much more. Over these last few years of being saved and receiving the Holy Spirit, I have really realized what grace means. I was unable to give grace to those that transgressed against me without receiving the grace and mercy that God freely gives to me every day. Micah 6:8, He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Every day I wake up and thank God for opening my eyes and allowing me to see and find the joy in all that He has blessed me with. Even if it is the kids arguing over something petty, the joy is that I can direct them to Christ in the situation and just pray that they will take hold and cling to Him and that He is sovereign over all. God has further blessed our family by leading our path to this church. The outpouring of encouragement, edification, support, and overall love for one another is amazing, and it has deepened our walk and taken our want to learn even farther. We are so truly blessed and thankful for the mercy and grace of God and the new home He has led us to. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me.
Based upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His saving work on your behalf, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good morning. My name is Travis, and I'll be giving my testimony. My childhood didn't seem much different than anyone else's around me. My parents were just like any other working class parents. Both of them had to work and provide for my brother and sister and I. We lived what we thought was a normal life. At a young age, I was informed that my dad was an atheist. There was never much talk about God in our household. My parents went through a difficult time in their marriage when I was, 14, 15 years old. And I was left to just make decisions on my own. And I acquired the atheist belief. During this time, I was left with no parental guidance. My thoughts were... I just had no regard for life at all, mine or anyone else's. I pretty much lived it, like there was no tomorrow. And I thought if you were going to be buried in the ground, why shouldn't you just do what you want? There was no repercussions. There was many years of drinking, doing drugs, fornication, you name it, with nothing to fear. You just did whatever you wanted. Drinking and driving, I mean, just no regard for anybody. I had multiple accidents. A couple examples, I rolled my truck down a embankment, drinking and driving. And I walked away without a scratch. Me and another friend of mine that was in the car with me. Got into a lot of bar fights. One of them was so severe, I ended up getting life flighted. My injuries were so bad. I was minutes away from bleeding to death. And still in that moment, it like fueled my, that I was indestructible. That, you know, every encounter. During this time, I met my wife. As she said, we eventually got married, had a child, and life seemed to be normal, normal as I knew it. Shortly after my daughter's first birthday, I was diagnosed with cancer. I was scheduled for surgery and then some intense chemotherapy. This was a very, very dark time for me. I honestly didn't want to live no more, and even contemplated suicide. Even as an unbeliever, God blessed me with His common grace and allowed me to keep my life. Not only did He spare my life, He allowed me to fully recover from cancer, 9 years of remission. The experts said there was a very small chance of having any children after chemo, but once again, God had other plans. We were blessed with another little girl. 17 days after bringing her home, she quit breathing, and we had to rush her to the emergency room. We spent a few days at Rainbow's, this time sitting there looking at her, all hooked to these tubes and monitors, and not even knowing if she was going to make it. I just couldn't. All I could think of was, this can't be it. Everything I've believed up until this point, you know, it can't be true. This is my daughter. I can't lose her. Looking back at that point, I believe God was working in me. After this imaginable incident with my daughter, I really started to just self-evaluate my life and ask questions. And God's sovereignty put me and a friend. This friend used to live pretty much the lifestyle I did. But he took the path of God, and I continued down the path of righteousness. And God brought us back together. And he shared the gospel message with me. He began sending me sermons. Eventually, we started talking daily about the Lord. After listening to some of these sermons and reading one of the most impactful sections of Scripture, Exodus 20, 1 through 10, the Ten Commandments, I remember calling him up and telling him that, you know, I've broken every one of these. I mean, I realized that I had broken God's law and I was in need of a Savior. One morning as I was leaving to go back to work, I used to walk to my truck and I would pray. I would ask God, you know, to forgive me of my sins and pray for other people. And that day was, there was this the overwhelming feeling that day of, I just started to cry out of nowhere. And most people that know me know that I'm not a big crier. And I just couldn't stop. I mean, I tried to fight it. I tried to just, hey, you got to go to work, you know. I mean, I was begging God not to, you know, make something wrong with the truck so I didn't have to leave. I didn't want to leave my family. I was tired of being over the road, being gone all week. And it was God's irresistible grace, and he brought me to my knees that day. And that is when I believe I received the Holy Spirit, Colossians 1, 13 and 14. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Since being saved, I am learning what life's purpose really is. We're placed here for God's purpose and God's glory. God has shown me so much grace and mercy, and he continues to further bless me and my family every day, because each day is a true gift from the Lord. I am thankful for God leading us to Sovereign Grace Chapel, the council, and encouragement from the pastors and you members have been very edifying to me and my family. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, for by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are all his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Thank you.
Travis, I'm thankful I know the new Travis and didn't meet you in a barroom brawl today. Praise the Lord for what he's done in your life, and we just thank God for you and for your family. Travis, based upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his saving work upon the cross, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I would encourage you all to keep Travis and Tiffany and Sadie in prayer as they endeavor in following the Lord, and to seek to come alongside them as followers of Christ and to be an encouragement to them, and I'm sure you'll also be encouraged by them as well. I'm going to pray, and then that will conclude our baptismal service. Lord God Almighty, we thank you and praise you for your work. Lord, that you open blind eyes, you unplug deaf ears, you raise the dead. You do this through the power of your word, working through people under the energizing power of your spirit. We thank you for each of these three who are baptized today. We thank you as well for the 13 who committed themselves to membership here at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We pray for them as well, that you would help us come alongside them, and may they joyously experience many years of mutual encouragement and edification, instruction, and may we faithfully follow you even unto the end. We say all this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You dismiss. Don't forget about the chili cook-off.
Thank you. Thank you.